Well, thank you, Carrie, for that. Well, good morning. I have to say it's a pleasure to stand here in front of you again and just share what God has placed on my heart for our time together this morning. The Christmas story is undoubtedly that of God coming to this world in flesh through the birth of Jesus. As John reminds us in 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. The celebration of Christmas, as we've just experienced in the last few weeks, is one of joy, hope, love, and peace. Being born into a world at a time, and still to this day, needed it more than ever. The main story of Christmas is undoubtedly that of Jesus. But the story is full of wonderful subplots too. Subplots of an ordinary carpenter named Joseph. Of some shepherds tending their sheep on a hill. And here today, the Magi, the wise men. But I'd like, right from the outset, just to dispel some of the myths and legends that have grown up around this visit of these Magi. To start with, we don't really know their number. Scholars have it that it could have been 2, or it could have been 12. The number of 3 is probably just due to the fact that Matthew notes 3 gifts that they brought: the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. And we don't even know their names. But I remember growing up with the names Malchar, Caspar, and Balthazar. In fact, I once had the honour to dress up in a pair of old curtains, throw on a crown, and play Balthazar at a nativity once. And as we know, putting on a crown and strutting your stuff as a kid is probably the most awesome thing you can do at that age. Also, the timing's significant. Most scholars agree that the visit didn't happen as most of our Christmas cards, nativity plays, and Victorian carols portray. The visit happened some time after the initial birth and wasn't in a stable, but at the home of Joseph and Mary. Jesus was probably 18 months to 2 years old, which is why Herod committed such a terrible act of murder on all the children aged under 2. But what we do know from Matthew is that they came from the east, and most scholars agree that they probably came from Babylon or Persia. They were not kings, but men of learning. Some have argued that they were men from a priestly caste at the time that spent their time looking to the stars and using astrology to predict the future and understand the here and now. The visit of the Magi, these wise men, has a lot to teach us even today. But looking at this passage, I just want us to take away one headline, one point that's spoken to me over and over again as I prepared this. Wise people seek God. Wise people seek God. Yes, these Magi, these wise men, were probably Eastern astrologers, students of the stars. They probably wouldn't have received a warm welcome from the temple on their arrival in Jerusalem. But they went seeking and ended up seeing something of God. They were able to see God had come in the person of Jesus by a star. Another way of looking at this is they went seeking God, and he found them through a star. Jesus is big enough to be found by a bunch of astrologers, and he's still big enough to be found today. So ask yourselves, where are you finding Jesus today? Also, this act of seeking by these wise men was enough for them to go out of their way to actually find him. In verse 2 we read, "We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." It's easy to miss the nuance of what is going on here. Remember, at this time in the ancient world, people rarely travelled outside of a 30-mile radius from where they lived and where they worked. Scholars have estimated that as the crow flies, it was a journey of 500 miles. But it's more than likely the journey they actually had to take was 900 miles. They were willing to travel to the literal ends of the ancient world to find Jesus. And what brings this into focus for me is that when they arrive, and Herod doesn't quite not do with their story, He calls in the chief priests and teachers of the law for an answer. And these priests from the temple have the answer. They've been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years for the answer to the prophecies as foretold in the Old Testament. And one being, Micah 5, is retold in Matthew 2, verse 6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. But even with the answer, they don't seem to get it. And they don't seem to be bothered enough to walk down the relatively short trip from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. But these wise men were willing to make nearly a 1,000-mile journey to seek God. These priests have the answer. It's so familiar to them, it seems to have lost its meaning, lost its importance. It's become old and dry. Now, God is big enough to reveal himself by a star. If our view of God isn't that big, then our view of God is too small. I know I'm guilty of this. Like the temple priests, I like to keep God in a small box, small and safe. But our God is so much bigger. Ask yourself, what is God trying to reveal to you at this moment? Has God already spoken to you? You have the answer, but you just haven't realized it yet. Ask yourself, am I seeking Jesus like these wise men? Am I, like them, willing to go out of my way to find him? Now, like these wise men, we need to seek God first. But what does that actually mean? It means having a life that revolves around the person of Jesus. It means living a life of pursuing and seeking his way, not our own. It means, like the Magi, looking up. Looking up from the everyday that so easily keeps us down. What do we need to lift our eyes away from to help us to see the way to go? Do we need to put the paper down? Switch the TV off? Walk away from our mobile phones? And actually begin to seek God in earnest. Seek him through his word, the Bible. Through times of prayer, talking with him about what is going on in our day-to-day lives. Spending time in corporate worship, just like now. Just praising him. And yes, asking him for a star to guide us. Now, we've talked about spiritual disciplines before and how important they are for us to grow with God and grow with Jesus. Spiritual disciplines cover our internal life through reading the Bible and prayer, our external life through service to one another and spreading the hope of Jesus through sharing our faith with others, and our corporate life in celebration and worship together as a community. But it's easy to be like the temple priest, to let these disciplines get old and dry. If we don't keep them up, we become spiritually unfit. Now, yesterday I went for a cycle ride with Dan and the rest of the chaps. But I tell you, I've not been on my bike for over 3 weeks. They'll quickly tell you I'm a bit unfit. I got left behind. And in the same way, our spiritual disciplines need to be kept up, or we quickly become spiritually unfit. But I also know that when I go out on my bike, it's easy to ride the same old familiar routes, because my legs won't actually complain that much. But if I'm to get stronger, I need to ride new routes and climb tougher hills to grow stronger. And the same is true for our spiritual disciplines. We need to mix things up now and again to become stronger. Now, it might mean reading a new Bible translation to make God's word feel fresh and alive. It might mean finding a different quiet time just to reconnect with God. And you might need to explore different ways to pray. Now, for me, at the beginning of this year, I found the Bible in 1 year Bible app on my phone. It's released by HDB. Just to reconnect with God's word in a new way. And last time I was here, I was talking about prayer. You might remember that I mentioned the Echo Prayer app to you. I set up loads of different prayers that interrupt my daily life to remind me to pray about different things and different people. Now, becoming more disciplined in our faith is a good thing, as long as these disciplines are handled responsibly. Sometimes we can get more caught up in developing the disciplines themselves, so we lose sight of why we actually started in the first place. When it becomes more about memorizing verses than actually learning what they mean, or when it becomes more about the music than actually just worshiping God, we're not using our disciplines to really develop and grow our faith. And all this might mean for some of us that we need to start living a life that isn't convenient, but one that at times might be inconvenient. I think we'd all agree that trekking 900 miles classes as very inconvenient. But God will honour the inconvenience. God will honour those who give their all to him. Look at how God honoured the Magi, these wise men. They got to see God in flesh in the person of Jesus, and what a story they had to tell. We need to lead lives that seek out opportunities that will inconvenience our lives for Jesus by blessing others, living for others, and in that begin to learn more about Jesus through others. God will begin to speak so much more through a life that is seeking after him. Now, I know for me personally that I am stood here talking to you today because, like the Magi, I decided to seek God. Seek what he wanted for my life. Now, a few years ago, I began to seek him. And do you know what? He started to answer. It's been a long journey so far, and I know it's not over. But like the Magi, I had my star. Well, my star wasn't actually a star, as awesome as that would have been. It looked like three ordinary, hard-working colleagues at the hospital. Like the Magi star, they pointed me to God. And what's more remarkable is that these three people aren't what we would call religious. One was a lapsed Jew, one was a lapsed Catholic, one would probably identify themselves as spiritual. But with each of these people, I had the exact same conversation. The exact same conversation about what I believe, who this person of Jesus is, and what my life might need to become to do what God wants for my life. Through these people, God has shown me his way and begun to answer my seeking. So in wrapping up today, when we start to seek God like the Magi, like these wise men, it might be life has to get a little inconvenient for a while. We might have to go on a journey to get the answers to our questions. But like the Magi, we will find our answers in the person of Jesus. Now, if this is all new to you today, and you have questions about what it is to follow Jesus and seek God, then please, please do come and talk to one of us. Find Paul or myself or your neighbours, and just ask about our journeys of faith and of seeking God in our lives. And if this is all just the same old to some of us, I'd just like to challenge you, in fact, challenge all of us, to reflect on how we are seeking God right now. Now, it might be we need to change and refresh our ways of seeking him. We might need to shake up our spiritual disciplines. And we might need to ask God for a star to guide us. Now, for me, the visit of a bunch of Eastern astrologers to Jesus can teach us so many, many things for our lives today. But as I said earlier, what's really spoken to me is this. Wise people seek God. Wise people seek God. Amen. Why don't we just stand for a second? Maybe just close our eyes and just reflect on what we've